mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 69. So the balcony is real. Lemire shifting on his shoulder, Aang trailed his fingers through white-spotted leaves, seeing 100 years of neglect in the way strawberry vines swarmed over every stone, shading the whole balcony in green. Si and Gyate had been whispering to each other over there, which would put Timul about here. Nothing. No spirits, no visions, no angry ghosts threatening to call down lightning. Just stone and green and silence, broken only by badger frog croaks. But she was here. Timul was standing right here. It felt weird to know that. A strange mix of acid in his throat and finally finding a solid place to stand. Timul had been alive when Master Gyatso had still been looking after him. She'd known air nomads he might have met. She was wrong about them, utterly wrong. But she'd known his people, his world, his friend. Kuzan trusted her, and Sozin killed her. It hurt. But that was kind of what he'd come here for, after he was sure they were safe. His friends could poke around the Western Air Temple and ooh and ah while they tried to get over the eclipse. Aang was looking for something else. He rubbed behind cream-furred ears, thinking hard. Gyatso said once, if you don't know the face in the mirror, think back to where you were when you did. Well, here he was. Kind of. At least it was an air temple. 100 years ago. Back when I was just a kid, just another air monk. At least that's what I thought. I never wanted to be the Avatar, Aang told Empty Stones. I don't want to invade places or hurt people, even if I have to stop the Fire Lord. He winced, one hand gripping his air staff hard. I don't want to, so why am I doing it? There's got to be a better way. Silence. The leaves, cloaking stone, soaked up even the echoes. Crick, 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 crick. Sounded kind of like a cricket mouse. Momo perked up on his shoulder, dashing off after something in the thicket of vines. At least somebody's still got an appetite, Aang muttered. When he thought about what had happened yesterday, all the pain and fighting and dying, and it'd all been for nothing. He didn't even bother brushing leaves off a stone bench, just flopped down onto it, sick at heart. He couldn't even be glad Sokka had listened to him when he said he needed to meditate alone and kept the rest of his friends away. He just felt awful. Aang curled his arms around his knees, feeling hot tears splat on the backs of his hands. He was going to meditate. He was. Later. I tried. Everybody tried so hard. He wasn't going to let Katara hear him cry. Not now. Maybe not ever. Someone put an arm around his shoulders. Aang gulped for breath. Sokka, just let me think. Sokka is quite busy keeping your little friend, the Duke, from falling down yet another drop-off, an amused voice said gently. One wonders when he'll realize every structure in this temple is meant for those who can call the wind for their wings. Aang froze. He'd heard that voice before, except he hadn't. Timul had heard that voice before, 100 years ago. I've frightened you. The arm didn't move, warm as sunlight and not quite as solid. I did not intend to. It has been some time since souls passed within these walls needing comfort. A soft chuckle. Though not so long as you might think. Many who have fled the Fire Lord's wrath have taken refuge here for a time. Warily, Aang glanced right and up. Not very high up, which surprised him. T'Mul had seemed 10 feet tall with the force of her rage, even though that ghost wasn't any taller than Zuko. Seated, the gold-eyed swordsman wasn't much bigger than Aang. Dark hair, only a few wrinkles, like someone got from staring into the sun. He looked younger than Chief Hakoda. Aang swallowed. You're not... Words failed him. Alive? She grinned at him. Not quite. Though neither is one dead, exactly. He shrugged, like shadows moving through sunlight. So much grief here. So many seeking refuge from terror and pain. This temple needed a guardian, and I wished a place of peace and healing. So I stayed. Goldeyes glinted with amusement. Why are you here? A ghost was asking him why he was here. A Fire Nation ghost. I'm an air nomad, Aang got out. Where else would I be? An air monk? She leaned back, chuckling gently. A little young for spring festivals, are you not? Gurk! Oh, monkey feathers. His face was red. He just knew it. But if she thought he was here to see the nuns, then... Are they alive? Aang grabbed for a not-quite-there red sleeve. Please, just tell me somebody's alive. T'Mul showed us you and Gyate were going to take some girls. But she's a ghost. She doesn't breathe. I can't tell if she's lying. Peace. Breathe, young one. Take a moment to think. Laughter fled the spirit's face, leaving understanding in its wake. T'Mul did not lie. Dragon children rarely do. Gyate and I did rescue many from here and spirit them away. And yes, some of the children are still alive. They are older and cautious of strangers, but they live. She looked at him over again. Met T'Mul, have you? And yet you live. Something must have softened her rage. Softened it? Aang wondered. What was she like before? Where are they? Why did they go with you? T'Mul called you the demon of Taku, but Gyate was trying to protect you. Love can lead one to do many things that are not wise, she mused. But Gyate did not protect the demon. He touched a hand over his heart. She protected she, who had seen too much death and never wished to deal it again. To be asked to save lives, not take them? How could I abandon innocence to Sozin's evil? But... Aang swallowed. You're Fire Nation. Saving people almost killed Kuzon. Young Lord Kuzon. She inclined his head. He has always been brave and faithful beyond death. Firebenders are bound by loyalty. Acting against the Fire Lord's will can be fatal. A flicker of a smile. But most Onmitsu are not bound so tightly. Fortunately. A soft, huh. And I had broken from the Fire Lord many years before. It did nearly kill me. But perhaps Agni judged my cause just, or perhaps it was only a favor of a kindly wind. For when the sickness froze my soul, I was cared for by a young maiden who had strayed too far from her cohort. Gold eyes glinted with laughter. She pinned me between herself and her bison and demanded I live. A finger tapped the tip of Aang's nose, light as a landing flutter hornet. You are very, very stubborn people. Gyate. Aang drew back a little, startled and wondering. It was Gyate, wasn't it? She kept you alive. But why? He gulped. I mean, it was the right thing to do, but... For the demon of Taku? Ah, I do know what you mean. She nodded. Why did you not leave Prince Zuko to the snows of the north? He knows about that? Because it would have been wrong. The spirit inclined his head. So you believe. But why do you believe so? He spread empty hands when Aang flinched. I never said you were wrong, young one. But if you wish to see in a mirror clearly, you must shed light on its reflection. And that was like what Gyatso had said once. If you've lost something, don't just look where there is sunlight. Bring light into the dark. Then you will see. But right now, Aang figured, he was what was lost. It would have been wrong because he could have died out there, Aang said haltingly. And that would have been our fault. Katara already stopped him. He couldn't hurt us anymore. We didn't have to kill him. And if we weren't going to kill him, then it would have been wrong to let him get killed when we knew it could happen. And we weren't going to stop it. We couldn't do that. Aang swallowed, throat dry. I couldn't do that. Not after Zuko. He closed his mouth and shook his head. Yes? She arched a dark brow. He didn't save them. I never said that he did. She tilted his head, curious. Save who? Sokka and Katara were sick, Aang said reluctantly. And Zhao caught me. If Zuko hadn't... He hunched his shoulders. It hadn't happened. Zuko had broken him out, and he'd found more frogs, and Sokka and Katara were fine. It is possible to do the wrong thing for the right reasons, she reflected, or the right thing for the wrong ones. Intentions matter, but so do one's actions and their consequences. He nodded, as if to himself. Among the Fire Nation, it is said, do not drown yourself to save a dying man. But if you know that by failing to act, someone may die, then you must answer to your own conscience for your actions. As Gyate did hers, warming one who had once been an assassin with her hope. I don't want to kill the Fire Lord, Aang got out in a rush. But I have to stop him. How do I do that? He smacked himself in the head. Sorry, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked you that. She blinked at him, head tilted in curiosity. The Painted Lady, Aang sighed. Piandao, even Shidan, they can't help. Sokka explained what Kyoshi did. You can't go against the Fire Lord, or you'll make all the spirits angry. Silence. Aang looked up into a slow, quiet smile. That is true for many, she allowed. But I broke from Kyoshi's decree many years ago. So did Timul, right? Aang said, trying to think it through. Is that why there's so many Fire Nation ghosts? He shivered. That's scary. If the only way you can fight the Fire Lord means you can't get into the spirit world. That is not what keeps Timul here, she said firmly. She is driven by vengeance. I am bound by quite another purpose. A slight shrug. Defying the Avatar can make entering the spirit world difficult, but it is not impossible. Death knows no nation. He paused. Though it is true, some ghosts can make themselves known to men more easily than others. It may come as a surprise to a young man, taught to think well of spirits. But fire ghosts are... pushy. Aang couldn't help but snicker. Huh, you have noticed then. She laughed to himself. But we have to be, especially if we wish to speak to you. You carry within you the power of the world itself, Aang. If you do not deliberately calm it, for a human spirit, it is as if one cries into a hurricane. Your voice, even the sight of you, are lost in whirling winds. But the Fire Nation isn't all human. You mean there could be ghosts all around me and I wouldn't know? Aang demanded. At one time or another, there is a ghost about all of us, she stated. But no, young man, there are many who still wish you well, even if they can no longer walk among the living. He looked Aang up and down, with a sort of worry and I'm going to fix this Aang was used to seeing on Sokka. Time passes oddly for spirits. You look as though the world has ended. Yet I feel Sozin's comet has not yet come. It doesn't matter when it comes, Aang got out. We've already lost. Everything spilled out. The eclipse, the invasion, the throne room empty except for a raging dragon, the war balloons. It's all my fault, Aang said numbly, hugging his knees to his chest. All those people dying, all the things the Fire Lord's going to do because we couldn't stop him. Ah, there was almost a chuckle in Chi's voice. So you determined how long the eclipse would be. I am surprised. I knew the Avatar commanded the spirits of this world, yet I did not believe he had the power to fix the sun in the sky and command the moon to set. What? Aang sputtered, taken aback. I don't control the sun or the moon. I know Yue. I can't tell her what to do. Are you laughing at me? No. She shook his head, still smiling. At myself. I remember being 12. One can be very convinced of things that simply cannot be. Aang caught his jaw hanging open and closed it. You don't think it's my fault? That felt weird. I think it is your responsibility, she said firmly. But when one match starts ablaze, it may take an entire village to stamp it out. Even the most diligent firewatch may miss a spark carried on the wind that sets new blazes behind them. Is that their fault? No. But to know the wind may carry sparks, and to seek out help to watch and smother them, that is their responsibility. He spread an empty hand. Do you see the difference? Kind of, Aang mumbled. But this was supposed to work. Sozin's plan to destroy the air nomads was supposed to work, she said dryly. We are lucky that those who make plans also make mistakes. Ugh, why didn't anyone in the Fire Nation make sense? But Sozin was evil! Aang had to look away. Even if Roku thought he was his friend. He was Roku's friend once, she said quietly. That is what makes his betrayal of your people so cruel. But if he was Roku's friend, how could he... Aang shuddered. He let Roku die. She let out a soundless breath. So that is what happened. There were rumors, but... The spirit looked down. I wish I had an answer for you. But it lies within each of us to choose good or evil. To abandon a friend in his hour of need, that is evil. And too often, lesser evils lead one into ever greater darkness. He waved a hand at rock and ruins. As you see. Aang shifted on the bench, uneasy. You're not just talking about Sozin, are you? No. There was something really, really scary about how gently she said that. Aang looked away. He'd think about it, just not right now. You said people hid here? Who? Where are they? To even speak the names might take us weeks, she said plainly. That many? Aang objected. This is an air temple. You can't get here without flying. If you can climb sheer cliffs, she noted. Yeah, right. Which many in the Fire Nation are capable of. She went on dryly. Ropes and pitons make things possible, and dragon children rarely need even that. He shrugged, and those who took refuge here did not stay. They only rested, as you are resting, and healed until they could face the world once more. He chuckled, looking into the distance. You would be amazed what determination this place has woken in others to set the world right once more. Aang bit his lip. Is that a good thing? Overall, it has been. She nodded. Though I am glad the elder nuns have mostly moved on. Some visitors here I have had great difficulty keeping alive. He shook his head ruefully. It is difficult enough to stay alive in this maze with two good eyes and all your wits about you. Lost in despair with no depth perception, and unquiet spirits more than willing to make the living stumble for something they never did. Those were frantic days. Aang felt goosebumps prickle down his spine. Zuko was here? Why? Healing, she said simply. He was gravely injured and exiled and did not know what to do. He looked into the distance. Those who know the Fire Lord's court say the caldera eats the hearts of those who would change it. I know. It almost ate mine. For her. But that was kind of what he felt like. As if someone had just reached inside and torn up everything. You kept Zuko alive? And is your first question why? Or why did I have to? She's gaze fixed on his, deadly as fire. The answer to the second should be obvious to one who has met ghosts before. Especially Temul. Air nuns wouldn't kill, Aang protested. Who said kill? She's voice was desert dry. As I said, it is difficult enough to stay alive in this temple when all your wits are about you. One moment of distraction, and ghosts can be very distracting. Well, the spirit shrugged. He had been exiled less than a week, and able to walk scarcely longer than that. Iroh was with him most of the time, and ghosts do not trifle with the Dragon of the West. But sometimes, Zuko avoided his company. He was young and hurt, and he had just seen all the plans he had laid go up in smoke. The gold gaze cut to Aang. Much like someone else I could mention. Aang scowled, folding his knees up to his chest again. He wasn't trying to save the whole world. She looked at him, unimpressed, reached out and flicked him right on the tip of the arrow. Ow, what was that for? If you would think and listen, you would realize that what you have said is less than true, she stated. Or how well do you think the world would fare if Azula became Fire Lord? Aang froze. Azula? Leading all the Fire Lord's soldiers? After she'd hurt the invasion so bad with just a few people? Oh, that was not so good. It is true. Zuko was not thinking of the whole world, she observed. Young men his age rarely do. But he was thinking of the Fire Nation, and the disaster he saw looming before him threatened to crush his spirit. Gold eyes bent to his. But he would not give up. If the way to lift his exile, to save his people, was to find the Avatar lost for 100 years, then he would find you. She waved a hand, encompassing vines and sun and stone. He found the strength to swear that here. One hopes you will find strength here as well. Aang frowned at him. I'm the Avatar. There isn't anybody else stronger. Is that so? She crossed his arms, almost amused. Sozin was strong, and yet in the end he did nothing with that strength but destroy. Is that the strength you think of? Or would you seek for strength like your friend Sokka? The strength not only to know when not to fight, but when one must fight, even when all the odds are against you. Sokka's not... Aang bit his lip, thinking it over. Sokka wasn't a bender, but neither was Master Piandao, and when Azula's Onmitsu had taken his bending, he'd never felt so helpless, even after the paralysis had worn off. Sokka, Master Piandao, they must feel like that all the time. But even so, Master Piandao had stood up to a raging ghost to keep people from getting hurt. Like Sokka did with Hei Bai and Wan Chi Tong. Aang swallowed. Somebody said the best swords stay in their sheaths. What does that mean? The simple explanation or the thoughtful one? She raised his head, as if tasting the wind. The simple. Good swords are expensive. No one wishes to damage them lightly. Better to use a cheaper blade if killing must be done.
Ugh.
And the thoughtful one? Aang tried. It's not about fighting if you don't have to, right? More than that, she stated. The wise warrior does not simply avoid battle. He studies his surroundings, his enemies, and his allies. Know those, and you may learn how to end a fight before it has ever begun. He let his arms slip back into an easy stance. Tales say the Avatar can speak to his predecessors. If you have spoken to Roku, and I know you have spoken to Temul, what do you think would have stopped the Fire Nation before the war ever began? Aang winced. Roku, he shouldn't have let the Fire Lord get away the first time he invaded the Earth Kingdom. He should have... I don't want to say it. The Avatar has to think about the whole world, even if they were friends. If Roku had just killed him... That would have been one solution. Shi's gaze was unyielding. There are many reasons Roku did not choose it. Aang shrugged. They were friends. Sozin was the Fire Lord, the one man who held all the Fire Nation's loyalty in his grasp, and he had no heir. She shook his head. If Roku had slain him, the Earth Kingdom would have been safe, but the Fire Nation would have turned on itself in a bloodbath no one had seen in over 200 years. Roku feared that bloodshed. Any sane man would. So he stayed his hand. She sighed. It was not, in the end, a kindness.
But he didn't know, Aang protested. He couldn't have known.
Yet he did know what drove Sozin to madness, what killed his father and grandfather before him, as they were forced to chain the spirit of fire itself. She was implacable as flames. He knew, and if he had lifted Kyoshi's decree, yes, many of us would have died, but Sozin would have had no united army to invade. His gaze softened, sad. No army and no navy that could besiege four temples across the world.
Master Gyatso, Aang swallowed. But it wasn't Roku's fault.
His fault? No. His responsibility? Yes. She looked him in the eye, face grave. Be wiser than your forebearers, young one. Lift the decree from us, when you can. Think of all the nations that walk this world. Only fire is chained to a bloodline of the Avatar's choosing. Would you choose water's chiefs or earth's kings? The Onmitsu's Okashira or the Yamabushi's Sohei? Set us free. Let us go. His voice sank. You are right, you know. Violence, death, they are not the answer. When you fight the Fire Nation, you fight a people who in their hearts know they are lost in the darkness, who know there is no future for their people. Beyond ever more blood and death. Weapons cannot fight despair, Aang.
The strongest bending cannot turn it aside. There is only one sword that can pierce it to the heart. He held out an empty hand. Lift Kyoshi's chains. Give us hope. Hope? Aang tried not to shudder. It doesn't matter if I say nobody has to follow the Fire Lord anymore. People are already loyal to him. If you break that... He swallowed. It won't work. She sighed. Did Master Gyatso ever tell you the story of Gere Abakwai? Where had that come from? The princess who stuck her finger on a needle and fell asleep for 100 years? Aang squinched his eyes at the spirit, trying to figure out the joke. I always thought that was a silly kid's story. Nobody can fall asleep for 100 years. She smirked a little, but shook his head. You have forgotten part of the tale. She was not cursed to sleep. The dark spirit who came to the name ceremony meant her to die. Right, Aang agreed, trying to dredge up the memory. But there was one little spirit everybody had forgotten. A well-meaning spirit, right? When the queen was a little girl, she'd cleaned up its shrine, so... That child of Hidden Waters twisted the curse. She nodded. Not death, but sleep. He waited, silent and sad. No, please no. She couldn't break the curse, Aang got out. She didn't have enough power. It's not fair. Life is not fair, she stated. We can only deal with the world as it is, not as we wish it to be. He turned a hand, palm up, as if offering a broken cup. If those of the Fire Nation break loyalty, yes, we may die. But if they must also face the wrath of the whole world for defying the Fire Lord, they will die. Zuko has only survived so long because most spirits cannot see who he is, until it is too late. A soft sigh. The Fire Nation has brought death and despair to the world, and the world itself demands we balance the scale with our own blood. You cannot save us from that. I know you wish to. I am proud that you wish to. That even in the midst of war, you hope for life. The world needs that hope. He touched Aang's shoulder. A sunbeam brush of warmth. But it also needs your strength. Strength to face the truth. To see what you can do and what you cannot. You cannot break this curse, Aang. You can only soften it. And that is not your fault. Let it go. Aang scrubbed at his eyes. It was dusty in here. Yeah. But I'm the Avatar. I'm supposed to fix things. You carry the spirit of the world, yes, she acknowledged. You are also a very young man, younger even than Kuzan was when he tried to save what he could. No one with a heart could expect you to set the whole world right once more. His gaze flicked to the side just for a moment. Like there's someone else there. Someone I can't see. His heart hurt. All he wanted was to go bury himself in Appa's fur and never, ever come out. But he had to know. If the Avatar's like a hurricane. It was tricky, using the meditations Master Gyatso had taught him when everything hurt so much. But Aang held his breath and made himself still. Vine shadows shifted, blurring into orange robes, long black hair, and a trembling smile. No tattoos. She's not a master. I know you, Aang said thoughtfully. I saw you. Twice. He'd seen her beyond Timmel's vision, though it'd been just a glimpse with Roku, of a sweating, tear-streaked face. You were there when I was born. It would have been difficult for her not to be, she said dryly.
Huh?
Aang frowned at the spirit. You're not making any sense. The ghost woman scooped him up into a hug, moonlight tears trickling down her cheeks.
You're all right, she choked out. When she told me Makoto chased you, I was so worried. I thought you were going to die.
Ma'am? Aang tried to squirm loose without making it too obvious.
Gyate, right? I'm okay, really. Could you maybe let me go, please?
She stiffened, sleeves brushing him like a cool fall wind, closed her eyes, tears still streaming, and started to fade.
Beloved.
She had a hand on her shoulder, color flooding outwards from that touch. It is the temple training. Even with almost a year in the world, he does not think of many things. His gaze went over her shoulder, smoldering when it touched Aang's.
Young man, I know Gyatso raised you to think. Do so. Who is the one woman who must be present at a birth? If you say the midwife, I will show you one of my old master's lessons.
She gave him an unimpressed up and down look. That generally leaves one unconscious half a day, and you would deserve every moment of that headache.
He meant it, too, Aang realized. Toph got that look when she was about to show a chunk of metal who was really boss.
But air nomads don't have parents, Aang protested, wondering if he could press himself through the stone wall, or if it would do any good with spirits involved.
Don't have...
Tears slowing, Gyate clapped a hand to her forehead in disbelief.
Oh, Master Gyatso, if I get my hands on you.
Some boys take their elders too literally, she murmured, raised his voice a little, still kneading Gyate's shoulder.
Aang, I know you are old enough not to believe the stories of being found under a cabbage leaf. The sons and daughters of the temples were not raised by parents. That is true. But that does not mean you do not have them.
It was like saying rain was supposed to fall up, or sky bison hatched out of eggs, or somebody like Hama was what waterbenders were supposed to be. Airbenders didn't have parents, just teachers.
How would you even know you're my mother?
Aang argued. Master Gyatso had me when I was 2.
I know. Gyate's eyes were wet again. I was there when the elders gave you to him.
Aang blinked, taken aback. That was, well, everybody knew what teachers did when they went to the East and West temples and came back with little kids. Nobody ever said anything about other people being involved.
The elders let us know that much, Gyate went on, gaze distant. So no one runs into a bad situation at the festivals. We know our children's names and who their teachers are.
She looked at him again, face an odd mix of sad and happy at the same time.
But I guess it was different for boys. They never had to know they even had children. So the elders didn't have to convince them to give them up.
Convince them? Aang echoed uneasily. This had something to do with why talking about parents upset Katara. He just knew it.
You're supposed to. Why do the elders have to talk you into anything?
Gyate made a hurt noise, eyes wide and so, so gray. She touched her hand and shook his head.
Beloved, he is a boy. Let me try.
And why do you keep calling her that? Aang muttered, half to himself. She's a nun. That's creepy.
She closed his eyes just for a moment. One begins to wonder how one ever survived one's apprenticeship.
Shaking his head, he opened his eyes. Aang, you have seen bison calves with their mother, how she cares for them, looks after them, teaches them to soar until they are ready to live on their own.
But that's sky bison, not people, Aang pointed out. We're supposed to be different.
She's gaze was a bottomless pool of gold.
Why?
Well, because...
She waited.
Why did he get the feeling that, because the elders say so, wasn't going to work?
Maybe because you know Master Gyatso didn't agree with them?
Well, yeah, Master Gyatso disagreed with the elders all the time. About training, about seeing other parts of the world, even about having fun at all. The elders didn't want anything in his life but training. That was why they were going to take him away from Master Gyatso. And that didn't happen to other kids. Any other kids. You didn't take a student away from his teacher. It wasn't right.
Katara and Sokka say parents are like teachers, Aang said at last. If they're right, then why did we do that? Why would we take kids away from their first teachers?
Ah, Shi's smile warmed his eyes. Now that is a good question, one I'm not familiar with.
You would be,
Gyate sniffed a little, and poked Shi in the shoulder. I still say your master's nuts.
He trained me, did he not?
Shi inclined his head to Aang.
I do know how those of air feel about your teachers. I feel much the same for mine.
Huh?
I was orphaned young, Shi stated. And not a firebender. But a master born of air took me in and raised me. And I love him even as you love Master Gyatso.
Aang's jaw dropped. You were raised by an airbender?
Oh,
you must be really confused.
I was raised by one born to air, she corrected. He was not a bender.
But that's not possible, Aang protested. We're all benders. We're the most spiritual nation in the world.
Gyate winced. All the children you knew were benders.
Well, yeah, Aang admitted. Isn't that what I said?
Oh, he really didn't feel good about this.
Why are you sad?
Gyate's hand crept into Shi's.
Aang, even in the temples, not everybody was born a bender.
His stomach seemed to be tying itself into knots.
But every air nomad's a bender.
Everyone claimed by the temple was, she stated. When it comes to air, by 2 years of age, one can tell who is a bender and who is not. A subtle shrug. After all, the elders claimed the temples were only for those blessed by the spirits. And if some mothers must lose their unblessed children, then all must, or it wouldn't be fair.
Aang had never heard the word said that way, like it wanted to crawl down his throat and gouge out his heart, and that was just a start with.
Our temples weren't always like that, Gyate said firmly. Before Yang Chen died, they were places to teach and learn. People went there to seek the Autumn Lord, to find teachers to perfect their bending, to heal.
She waved a hand at Aang. He almost felt a brush of air.
And teachers adopted students, with their family's permission.
How do you know that? Aang said, still dazed. Master Gyatso didn't know that.
Or he didn't tell me. Aang wasn't sure which option was scarier.
Pale fingers gripped sword-calloused ones.
We know, because Shi was on Mitsu,
Gyate answered.
They still have some of the stories, and there are other people who had more.
Other people? Gyatso's message had said there were airbenders left, who'd been in hiding from the temple. It's not just Onmitsu, Aang blurted out. Timul showed us. I didn't get it. The Onmitsu went after Kuzan when he wasn't in Byakko. They can't get in, which means... Oh, spirits. Yuan Ti's letter. Renegades. On Mount Shirotora. Gyatso even told me. Shidon's hiding airbenders. He's hiding them in Byakko. Oh, he was going to be sick. That's why Shidon wouldn't help us. The Onmitsu can't get in without him knowing. But if the Fire Lord orders Kotone to let them in... And now Ozai knows Shidon was helping us. Head down. Breathe slowly. Somehow she had moved between blinks, rubbing the back of Aang's neck with slow, careful pressure. Byakko has weathered the Fire Lord's wrath before. True, they are in danger. But the Yamabushi are not helpless, and running off to save them will only kill you all. I know it is hard. I do know. But you must stop and think. Think? Sure. When all he could see was a frightened face hiding behind Shidon, scared out of their wits, even after they'd rescued her from Hama. He told me, Aang blurted out. Shidon was hiding a Yamabushi right there. He gave me Gyatso's message about other airbenders, but he never said anything. Byakko has hidden them since Yang Chen's death, she stated. The habits of 1,000 years are not easily broken. No, Aang managed, trying not to look too closely at the ruins. I guess they wouldn't be. And Gyatso wanted me to figure stuff out on my own, which hurt, but at the same time, spirits, this mess was so big. If Gyatso had tried to tell him about it all at once, maybe I never would have been able to do it at all. I need to think about this, Aang muttered. I need to meditate. We will give you peace to do so then, she nodded. Though I will not be far. The temple is mostly quiet, but there are still spirits that might trouble you when you need peace most. He smiled. One will be careful with the Beto Beto. Toph seems a very feisty young lady, and one would not wish to harm any of her friends. Gyate caught his shoulder before he could fade. Wait, just a little longer. She drew nearer, gray eyes searching Aang's face. There's something you don't understand about the Fire Nation. Something I didn't understand for a long time. She spread open hands. They're afraid of you, because they think you have to have revenge. What? Aang yelped. But I'm an air nomad. And who of them knows what that means in these days of war? She observed. General Iroh, Prince Zuko, your own friends Sokka and Toph. People who can look from their own nation's point of view of the world and try to grasp another. Are rare. If you were Fire Nation, you would be forced to take revenge for your father's death. So that is what many of them expect. Aang tried to pick his jaw up off the balcony. But I didn't even know my father. And Monk Gyatso, who was a father to you in all but blood, would never ask for revenge. She nodded. I know, but Gyate is right. If you can tell those of the Fire Nation that your father was not slain by their hands, which is the truth, they may believe you might spare them. At the least, that you are not forced to kill them. He shrugged. You have seen the Fire Nation's tenacity when they believe it is fight or die. But if you can offer them another way, a chance for honorable surrender. You think some of them might take it, Aang finished. That would... It'd really help. Thanks. He frowned. But how do you know what happened to my father? He lived in Byakko. Gyate stepped in. He was a teacher and a healer. Aang frowned, seeing something just a little off about her stance.
Is she standing on his foot?
You were a better one, she muttered. I wouldn't have had the chance if you hadn't... Gyate bit her lip. Aang, this is very important. I hope Gyatso told you, but nobody told me, and if she hadn't been there... The Fire Nation knows all about fire. That means they deal with smoke. And that means most of them know what to do if someone stops breathing. You need a friend who can do that. If you're the Avatar and you have to go against Gyatso's teachings to stop the war, you need someone who can breathe for you. She squeezed Shi's hand. I had to save Shi. And then he had to save me. You went against the elders? Stunned, Aang waved toward her unmarked forehead. Is that why you're not a master? What did you do? What we're not ever supposed to do. She took one step forward and drew Shi's sword. Her moves weren't like Master Piandao's. Whipcord strong, quick and hard like bamboo snapping back in your face. Instead, the blade floated in her hands, smooth arcs that whispered through the air like blowing snow. Deadly snow. Aang had seen enough warriors to know that. It chilled him. Why? A final salute, and she returned the sword to its sheath. Because there are movements of air a staff won't show you, Gyatso said briskly. We lost them when Qiangchen took away our swords. Without them, we can't heal. Water could heal. Earth could, too. Toph had proved it, even if it wiped her out. Even fire could heal. And that still made his head hurt. But air? Air is air. Aang said firmly. If you can move it with a sword, you can do it with a staff. I hope you can, Gyate said fervently. But whatever happens, there's one thing you need to know. Yeah? Aang said cautiously. Orange sleeves wrapped around him. I love you, Gyate whispered in his ear. And I know you don't know what to do about that, but you don't have to. Reluctantly, she let go. Mothers love their children. That's just the way it is. Her voice caught. And I'm so glad Gyatso was your master. He was a good man. Aang swallowed, throat scratchy. I miss him. I know. Gyate smiled, proud and sad. Whatever you decide, I know he's proud of you. I am. Sunlight shimmered, and they were gone. Aang scrubbed at his face and rested his chin on his fist. Think. Yeah, he had to do that. Byakko was in trouble because of them. The whole world was, and he wasn't sure what to do next. Lift Kyoshi's decree. Maybe it would help, but a lot of people would die. Aang winced. But if the Fire Lord isn't stopped, a lot of people are going to die anyway. What should I do? I'm supposed to fix this. No, wait. That was what she had been trying to tell him. I'm not supposed to fix things. I'm responsible for fixing them. There's a difference. And just because somebody was responsible for making things right didn't mean they always could. Responsible means you have to try. And if you think you can't do it on your own, you have to ask for help. He already knew he couldn't beat the Fire Lord by himself. So what could he do about Kyoshi's decree? Could one avatar even try to change what another avatar had done? One way to find out. Closing his eyes, Aang reached for the spirit world.